a citywide worship service going on at the Westerner again. It's July, right, Alvin?
July 23rd.
We did that. Somebody did that last summer as well, and it was good. Wow, it was good. That there was a lot of people. I don't know how many people. There was a bunch of people just worshiping God in this atrium on a Sunday morning. Anyway, talk to Alvin because they need some more people to sing in that choir for that Sunday morning. So talk to Alvin about that if you are so inclined to sing and help out in that way. And, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is there anybody here that does not have a Bible but would like one? Anybody at all? I mean, at these prices, they won't last long. I've only got 5 left. Okay, so Stan is going to, he's going to do a little bit of moderating too after me, and he's got 410, I think, is going to give a bit of a testimony. But I want to tell you guys a story that I'm still smiling about. Well, part of it is true. Last week I was in Fort McMurray, where one of my clients is Suncor, and they are huge. Like, they are just such a big organization. They have departments that overlook departments that overlook departments and plan, and it's like they blow me away how big they are. And for the last whatever it's been, 9-8 years, I've always dealt with this one department called operations. So whenever they wanted me, I'd deal with these operations guys. And now here recently, somebody got it in their hat that, hey, well, you should actually be dealing with the maintenance guys. Okay, I don't care. So, but that the issue was is that these guys that I dealt with before that, you know, we had fun with, and, you know, we kibitz back and forth, and we got along fine. Now I had to deal with Buddy, who is he's new on the job in his position, and man, he had attitude. He was this big gronk that, you know, he wanted to prove himself. Maybe he didn't, but you should ask him. What his issue was, I don't know, but man, it seemed to me like he just had a bag full of issues, and he was ready to share them with me because I wasn't doing things the way he wanted them done. And this and that and this and that. So a couple days into it, I go into his office before starting work. And I mean, he jumped on me like a fat kid on a Smartie. He just like, he was on me and like up and down. And I'm like, whatever, you know, I was like, yeah. So I'm just sitting there taking it and blah, blah, blah. So then, when that ended, I went out and I'm doing my thing. And when I'm up there working, I'm by myself, okay? So I set up my table, and I'm there all day, all week, by myself, doing my own thing. So I'm sitting there thinking, right? And I'm milling over all these thoughts and Buddy's comments. And, you know, now all of a sudden, I got some attitude. I got a lot of attitude going on now, too, right, in my head. And I'm not dealing with this very well at all. And I'm sitting there just churning and thinking up all these great things to say to him and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so So God says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, God says that we have the mind of Christ. Yeah, no. I did not at all have the mind of Christ through that. And lately, this verse came up somehow. It's out of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 14. God says, "Do not curse a deaf man." And I, you know, to me, it just strikes me as funny because it's like as if the deaf man's going to hear you, right? I think I might have mentioned this to you guys before, but it's just like, "Don't curse a deaf man." Well, So if he doesn't want you to curse a deaf man, who is going to get absolutely nothing out of it? Who do you think is going to suffer from this, right? Well, it's me. And I'm like, man, I was cursing this guy. And I was like, I'm just stewing over this, like, for, oh, I don't know, good 4 hours or more. And then that verse came to mind, don't curse a deaf man. And then also another verse that I love that I park at a lot is in 2 Corinthians 10, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so I started praying about this guy and what I was feeling towards him. And I don't know the guy hardly at all, but he did mention that he had a wife, and I know that he's got at least one kid. So I started asking God to bless him. Bless him, bless his wife, protect them as they're traveling, protect his kid at school. Full disclosure here, that would go on for a bit, and then I'd start grinding my teeth again, right? I was like, okay, no, take that into captivity. So that's what I did. I started praying through this and asking God to bless this guy. I didn't want to curse him anymore. I tried to bless him. Okay, now let's go back in time. When I was in his office, like, he had smoke coming out both ears, right? He was pretty excited. And he was not happy with me at all. So he came down to the building. One of the things, he came down to where I was working then later on in the afternoon. I wish I could adequately describe the guy's attitude and how different it was. How much brighter he was. He was joking with me before he wanted to rip my head off and beat me with a wet spot. He was joking with me, and he was like, and he was telling me about how these other guys spoke favorably of me and this and that and this and that. I was just like, oh God, you are good. You're good. So, yeah, exactly what Sonny said. Thank you, Jesus, what Sonny said. So the reason for bringing this all up is to share, tell you this cool little story. It's a good story. I love it. But take it with you. If there's something good in there that you can take with you, take it with you, because we've all got these gronks in our life, right? Maybe they're our wife. Maybe they're our husband. Maybe it's one of our kids. Maybe it's a neighbor or a boss. And we get, like, we pack that stuff around with us, don't we? But I would encourage you, as much as you're able, it's not easy, I get that, but as much as you're able, pray for them. God bless them. Protect their house. Protect their vehicles. Protect their marriage. Protect their kids at school. Yeah, just bless them, yeah. So that's my story. And that's it. Nobody wants a Bible? Sorry, what's that? Okay, all right. So, that's all I got, Stan. Your turn.
That's a great story. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. That's good, right? Amen. I am absolutely certain that there's a lot of us who needed to hear that today, that we easily get offended, or we run into somebody who you can easily hold a grudge against. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but, you know, we get that happening, and we have the power to overcome. That's really what Don's saying today. We have the power to overcome. We have the power to love people back, even if they don't love us. And when we do that, you know, we're free. And just a word, that's really what you're saying. We're free. And Jesus came so that we could be free. It just takes wisdom, and that's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is that we just love other people. We don't let them get under our skin. We don't let them allow us to be unforgiving or to hold a grudge. And if there's someone like that in your life right now today, you're in the right place because you can just let that go. Just let it go. Amen? Amen. Fortin, why don't you come on up here? We're going to listen to, give him a hand. That's good. This is a brother in the Lord. Amen. We have enjoyed Fortin for, about 3 months, 4 months since she's been around. And he's going to share a bit of his story today. He is part of our Lazarus house. So we have usually 3, 4, 5 guys at Lazarus house, which is a house where people are mentored and discipled, and they're in the word, and they're in the study, and they're growing together. And Ray, where's Ray? I know you're here. Put your hand up. We pray for Ray because he's the leader of that house, and for Alvin because Alvin's very involved in this as well. I'm just going to pray for you, Fortin, and ask that God just speaks through you, okay? So, Lord Jesus, thank you for this brother. Thank you for the journey that he has been on. Thank you for his life. Thank you that you have raised him out of the pit and that you bring him into a brand new life, that you're always the God of new beginnings, that you're always the God who forgives and who restores, and that your love endures forever. And so as Fortin just shares his story, may we be blessed by the miracle of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. So my name is Fortin. Yes, I live here in Radio. And is now, if we come together, I and my wife, if we come like together, it can make like a 17 years that we can be together. But in 17 years, we can take apart like 5 years away. So 12 years together. So first of all, I thank you with my sincere heart. I thank you, Pastor Stan, with my sincere heart. I thank you, Pastor Alvin, with your wife, with my sincere heart. And I thank you, Pastor Brother Tim, with your wife, with my sincere heart. May God bless you. Because what you are doing really a wonderful work. What you are doing, you are not doing it in vain. What you are doing is really to save a family and to save people. So I really thank you for that. And I'm here, it's not by accident. If you find me here today, I'm in Lazarus' house, it's not by accident. It's the plan of God. So in 2013, 2012, I was doing my apprenticeship in for McMurray. I was doing Meorite by training. I went there for McMurray. I work in Sanko, Maine. I was in a care role. I was in the another camp. What is it? Okay, the name will come. I stay there, I work. But majority of people, I work with them. Most of them, they are being divorced, separate, like that. And I didn't know where I am. I was just there to make money. But when I work for 28 in, 4 days out. So when I start working like that, I really lose the feeling of my wife or my kids of God. Because I need money. So I buy a piece of land back home in Africa. Because I have like a agriculture mind on me. And I came back, I tell my wife, you know what? Because I and my wife, we have 7 kids. I have 5 girls and 2 boys. So I have 6 girls with 2 boys. Yeah, so it's not easy. So we stay. I tell my wife supports me, say, no, as you want to buy like that, it's very good. I tell her, you know what? Learn to drive. I'll go home and I'll do what I want to do. I'll come. When I went back home, I reach. I say, ah, my wife is far away. You cannot know anything. I said, cheating. My wife. I know it. Consciously is bad. What I'm doing is a sin. I cannot supposed to do that. And also, I'm in salvation. I'm a Christian. I start doing like that. One of my brother called my wife. He told him, you know what? Your husband came here. He doesn't work. He's doing something else. But it was true. I spend my time. I come back to Canada. When I came, my wife told me, confess, what have you done? I said, no, nothing. My wife said, you know what? What you are doing is not good. What you are doing is not good. I say, ah. My wife said, okay, okay. I stay again. I say, no, I'm not going to stay with you anymore. I want to go to Calgary and make more money. Because before I do Muirite training, I was doing taping and mudding. So there was a pastor, Alan, is in Crossroad Church. He was the one who teach me that from Saskatchewan. Showing me, training me. I say, no, let me jump in Calgary. I jump in Calgary. I went to Calgary. My wife stay. I tell my wife, I'm from Africa. I want money. My things is in a container. I didn't declare it in the customs, so I need money. I go to Calgary quickly. I reach in Calgary. My wife told me, okay, you are now jumping. You don't want to stay with me with kids anymore. I say, no, I'm looking for money. Wait till you get your money. So I get the money. I went to Calgary. I start working, make money, make money, busy. 6 days a week, even Saturday, working 12 hours on for money. I stay in Calgary. My wife also, she stand for me, praying for me. She never give up. And also I stay in Calgary. I realize in myself, I start getting friends are not really Christian. Start taking me to the bar, going with them, drinking with them. I say, but I never drank in my life. What life I am? I tell him, you know, John, me, this kind of life, I don't like it. I'm an example, but this kind of life, I don't want it. So leave me alone. I stay with my sister-in-law in Calgary. He told me, you know what? Better you leave Calgary, you go back to your family. I say, I know, I'm not going. In Calgary also, life was not good. I start also doing things in Calgary. The spirit of adultery, fornication, spirit of bitterness, anger against my wife. When I get a phone like this, we start quarreling all the time. I send you money. Oh, quarrel. I say, my wife doesn't speak to me. When I talk, he doesn't speak. Just keep quiet. Now it was a time that I stay. I want to come to Radia to visit my wife and kids. When I came, my wife told me, no. You are not supposed to enter anymore here. Because you married me. And because back home when we marry, we do a diary. Like a long time ago, you meet two families and you do the diary, you give the money, and that finish. So my wife said, No. You must go now to the hand of God, in front of people of God to bless us. If they don't bless us, there's nothing I can do for you. We cannot live in fornication like that. I said, okay, it's okay. I understand, but I went to Calgary, I was shocked. I say, I'll do now my own way to show you that I'm also a man. What is it? I make money. I work. What do you want to show me? Go to Calgary. I stay. I start now building my own life. I stay. But in my heart, in my conscience, sometimes I stay. I say, but it's like I have a gold in my hands, but I'm losing it. But what is it? I call my mom because my mom lives in state and my brothers. I call my mom and say, no, you cannot be like that. I say, no, mama, you know what? I'm tired of things of God. I want to go back to my wife. My wife is giving me do A, B, C, D. So I don't want that. I want to have a freedom. I want to do my life. My mom say, no, calm down. That's a spirit of death. Even here, I don't. Demonic spirit, I just get annoyed. I say, Mama, you know what? I serve the Lord. It's enough. My mom say, it's not enough. It's better the beginning than the end. The beginning is okay, but the end is the worst. Be with God. You are being with God. Be with Him all the time. Don't give up in those kind of things. I stay. I tell my mom, you pray for me, I'll pray for you. So my mom pray in the state. One time I was praying at night. You see, because my father passed away a long time. You see our father blaming her, telling her, why do you leave your son in Canada there? He's going to die. You people, you don't do anything. You don't pray for him. My mom called me morning. He told me, what is going on there? I said, no, mom, I'm really sick. High blood pressure. High blood pressure. I went to the hospital and the doctor telling me that, you know what? You must do something for your life. If you don't do that, you see, it will be, you are not going to last for long. At night when I sleep, I speak. I start speaking like I play with my kids. I play with them. My sister-in-law said, but you know what? At night, sometimes you speak. I say, I don't speak at night. He said, no, you speak. And they start giving me the drugs of high blood pressure. I say, but what is this? I never seek this kind of sickness. My sister-in-law said, no. There's something. You try, you go to your wife, you arrange this situation. I say, no, I'm not going. Otherwise, when I was in Calgary, I started moving with another woman, a student. She came from Africa to learn. We started moving together. She was in the Bow River College going for school there. We started moving up. I said, no, I give up my family. But I stay. One day, I went to a church. It was a Sunday like this. I said, let me go to a church so I can see what is happening to my life. And here and right here, my wife was prayerful with a team. They pray that everything I'm doing so will turn up in a mess. So I'll come back. Thank you. Thank you, our mom. Thank you for standing in the gap for your husbands. Thank you, really. Thank you. I experienced it. In 2 weeks, I make 1,500. In 2 weeks, when I'm in Calgary. And that things, you don't see how money is going. And my wife here was praying that whatever I'm doing cannot prosper. Just in a zero to come back. I said, I stay. I said, now think. I said, but how can I work like a machine? But I don't see anything on me. My sister-in-law say, you know, in this country, sometimes money goes quickly. I say, okay, it's okay. I stay. I said, now, try to build my own life. I want to get a kid. I want to marry another woman. I want to stay like with a girlfriend. We stay like that. She can give a baby, okay, not okay. I want to start, try to live alone my own life. Preparing another way. Because we quarrel with my wife. I went to the church. I reach like this, a pastor, he doesn't know me. You see, our God is mighty. And God knows us. Even though we are hiding, God knows us. You know the number of our hair, when we don't know the number of our hair ourselves. Yes, we don't know the number. I don't know, it's my hair, but I don't know the number. So I start hiding. I went to the church one Sunday. A pastor was praying for people. Pray this way, this way. When he came, I was in the end. The pastor came around me. He told me, I want to pray for you. Is he okay? I said, yes. When the pastor prayed for me, he told me, you know what? You have a problem. But that problem can take you to your death. Very early, much premature death. That you don't know. I said, what? He told me, you have a wife, isn't it? With kids, yes. Why don't you go and see your wife and kids and finish this spiritual family I'm seeing on you? And I'm seeing bad. Go back where you live,
Fast for 3 days, at least. Seek God for 3 days. You're going to see what God is going to do to you. How you're going to see, call me. I went. I said, no. Let me call my mom. I called my mom. I said, Mama, I was in the church. I met one pastor, told me ABCD. Told me, my mom told me, no, you know what? Kneel down, pray. 3 days is not long. Stay. Pray like a noon, evening. You give me the time. I said, well, you know, okay, I'll do that. I pray first day, nothing. Second day, nothing. The third day when I pray, I feel really like release my mind like a small baby. I don't think anymore. Because before I was having bitter, you know, I was even trying. One day I say, oh, what can they give me this high blood pressure drugs? I can take it all. That's all. Finish. So what am I going to suffer like this? But when I pray for 3 days, now God opened my eyes. And I called that pastor. I said, Pastor, you know what? I really feel free. I feel released. And he told me, you know what? Now you pray for your wife and your kids. Because it's not easy. I understand. I start now coming backward, coming slowly, slowly, slowly. I find myself, one day I was sleeping, God showed me. He told me, you know what? What the devil is attacking all the time, he's attacking people. I say, no. I think. I start now seeing. You know, the family is the base of the society. The family is the base of the society. As long as there is not understand each other, that's the open door of the Satan. Where you are seeing people kill themselves, disappointed. Children running parents' house in the base, in a small age. Oh, I want freedom. I want to go. I don't want my father to control me. Your father doesn't control you, but he's showing you the way of God. Because the Bible is telling, when you are still small kids, follow the way of God. But you see, most of them, they are getting out, rotten. That is the plan of the enemy. You understand why I want to share with you, really. Thank you so much for the testimony I'm giving. Please, people are married. You have your wife. Be faithful. Please. And ladies, thank you so much for standing, praying for your husbands. Because I meet another lady. He came to my place there, to my wife's place, saying that, giving again a testimony. And I talked to her. And she was told me, you know what? I need to bring my husband. And husband, men, when your wife is going to church, try at least to go with her. It's for your goodness. I experience it. It's not easy. It's better you leave this world than seeing what is happening to you. But I thank God for that. I thank everybody. Thank you so much. May God bless you.
So we keep praying for Tong and your wife. What's your wife's name?
Sifa,
that's right. And 7 children, and they are well on the way back. We believe that. We believe that in faith, that God is bringing them back together again, and that the day of reconciliation, it's already beginning. Amen? Yes.
He's...
Yeah. You're seeing, yeah. Amen. But you're seeing your kids again, and you're being a father to them. Thank you, Jesus. So, Tim, would you just pray for me as we hear the word? Would you come up here and just have a prayer? Thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Fortan, for sharing that today. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. I know that from my own experience, and And I see you working in other people's lives, and it's just amazing that you are a redemptive, you're a redemptive God. There's nothing too broken that you can't put together again. When we're obedient to how you're calling us to live our lives. So, Father, I just thank you for that. You're a covenant God. You promise in your word that you've made a covenant with us as your children, and you are bound to your word. So as we are obedient to what you're calling us to do, what you're how you're asking us to live, you're bound by a covenant in your word to bless us. So, Father, I thank you that you're a Father of blessing. I pray, Father, that you'd bless other people here today who may have broken relationships. I pray, Father, that there'd be hope for other people, that relationships can be restored. And I just lift up Pastor Stan here to you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the word that he has for us. I thank you, Father God, for his the wisdom that you impart unto him. And I just pray, Father, that you'd give us open ears and open hearts to hear what you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks. Needed that. Last Sunday we had Pentecost Sunday and spoke about Pentecost, spoke about the power of the Holy Spirit, and how important it is that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? What a wonderful thing it is that the Holy Spirit actually lives in us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said that he was going to provide us with the Holy Spirit. He's going to send his Spirit, and that his Spirit would be with us, and that the Spirit would be in us, and that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And we read from Acts chapter 2, and we talked about that amazing event of Pentecost, when they all spoke in tongues, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, they all spoke in tongues, and as they did that, the tongues were a specific language. That in that case, the tongues of Pentecost were a language so that all the people who were in Jerusalem, the thousands upon people, thousands of people who were there, were hearing the good news about Jesus in their own language, in their own tongue. And that they responded, what did they do? They responded by saying, they were amazed and they were perplexed and they said, what does this mean? Because they wanted to know what was going on. What's going on with this Holy Spirit? What's going on? Who is this Jesus? What does this mean? And later on we find out that many of them came to believe. That as Peter proclaimed, as Peter preached that day, he told them about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, how Joel had prophesied about this outpouring, this very event that they were witnessing on that day, and that the young men would dream dreams, the old men would see visions, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all people, Joel said, and that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? And that's good news. That's good news. We're still living in that time. We're living in that new covenant, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that God still inhabits us. He still fills us. We have his Spirit who lives in us. So I want to kind of carry on with some of that same teaching today and read a couple passages just about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. First in Corinthians chapter 11. And I don't think we have this on the screen, but I'm just going to read this. You'll hear some of the gifts that Paul writes. And you'll notice that they're different. He talks about different gifts when he writes to the Corinthian church as he does to the Romans. To the Corinthians, he writes this. Now to each one, and I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 11 verse 7, sorry. He says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives to each one just as He determines. That's an important line. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts to each one just as He determines. And now, if you turn with me in Romans, I think this one is on the screen. We want to just focus a little bit more on Romans chapter 12 today about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit equips us and enables us to do the work. We work together as one body, proclaiming good news, filled with the Spirit. Amen? If you agree, you can say amen. We can kind of help me understand, you know, that you're following this. So in Romans chapter 12, we read about living sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is what Fortong was talking about. You know, he had to get to this point where he offered his body back to God as a living sacrifice because he was not living that way for a long time. Many of us can relate to that. Offer yourselves to God as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. You get that? We all belong to each other. You don't belong to yourself. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Amen? Amen. So the Holy Spirit gives out gifts. Last week we talked about that word enabling, that He enables us in a right and a good way. Even though that word enabling has a negative connotation nowadays, when the Holy Spirit enables us, it's a positive thing. And it means that He actually makes us able. He makes us able and He puts us in a position where we're going to succeed. He wants us to succeed. God, the Holy Spirit, never puts us in a place where He expects us or wants us to fail. He wants us to succeed. And by doing that, He enables us. And we talked last week, and I think this is really important, and that's that the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us, He gives proportionately, or He gives by measure. He gives as He determines. And there's sort of three verses that sort of explain that to me. The one was last week when we talked about when all those people spoke in different languages. In Acts chapter 2, it says that they spoke in all these different tongues, they spoke in all these different languages as the Spirit enabled them, as the Spirit made it possible, as the Spirit dished it out to them. Right? Another one is in what we read in Corinthians, where it says that all of these gifts, this is Corinthians 11 verse, or 12 verse 11, all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all of them work from one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one as He determines. You get that? It depends on how the Holy Spirit determines. It's not how you determine. It's not how much we ask for something or how much we demand something. The gifts that come to us depend on the determination of the Holy Spirit. He decides. He decides what gifts you're going to receive or what you will excel in or what you will excel in. Isaac, right? Yeah, that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's why it's a gift. And the word gift in the Greek language is the word from didymi, which means that, yes, you can give something, but it doesn't necessarily mean that He gives it completely or totally. He gives whatever He wants to give. He gives the proportion of the gift that He thinks we need or what we're going to use. He may give more to Steve of a certain gift than He might to Tim or than He might to Douglas. Because the gifting comes from the Holy Spirit, and it is proportionate to how the Holy Spirit decides to enable us, all right? And that's back now to the third one was in Romans. In Romans, he says that these are the gifts that you've received. This is Romans chapter 12. We just read this. and that we will receive the gifts of the Spirit according to the grace, that he gives us. It's kind of like my Tic Tacs. So Holy Spirit may give gifts like Tic Tacs, and you get six. You may only get one. You like Tic Tacs? He does not. What we're trying to say here is that as the Holy Spirit gives gifts, he gives it proportionately, depending on how the Holy Spirit wants to give it out. I may want to give six here and one here and 27 here, right? But that because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we have all the gifts because the Holy Spirit is in me. I have access to all of the gifts, but I may only excel in some of them. I may excel in teaching, or I may excel in leadership, or I may excel in tongues, or I may excel in prophesying. It depends on how the Spirit wants to enable us and give us the gifts, you know. And that's an important thing because I thought for many years that really all I was going to get from the Holy Spirit was one gift. Or maybe two if I'm really lucky, you know. You're going to only get one or two gifts. Maybe I'll get a gift of knowledge, or I'll have the gift of mercy or faith or one of those things. But when we really understand that the Holy Spirit is the person of God and that the person of God lives in me, he's actually living inside of me, then I have the availability of all those gifts. And there may be one time in my life I need leadership more than I need mercy, or one time in my life where I may need to, you know, have a word of knowledge, and another time in my life I may need wisdom, and that the Holy Spirit will dispense that gift in me as it becomes necessary. That does not mean that there are not gifts that we excel in. Obviously, there are gifts we excel in. There are some things I'm better at. I've been better equipped because the Holy Spirit has given me a greater portion, let's say, of teaching than maybe of wisdom. That's how the Holy Spirit works. So kind of the way I described it last week, and I'm going to sort of stay with this metaphor, is that it's like a volume switch rather than like an on and off switch. For years, I thought the gifts of the Spirit were like an on and off switch. You either got it or you don't have it. You're either a teacher or you don't teach. But that's not true. You may not be a natural teacher, but there may be times through the course of your life when you need to teach somebody, right? And the gifts of the Spirit are things like mercy. Would we say that, no, I don't have mercy. I don't have that gift. Yes, Gertie has that gift of mercy, but I don't have it. No, we wouldn't say that. We would say, I need to have that gift. I may not excel in it the same way as some other people do, but that gift is for me too. The same for giving financially, generously. We would not say only the rich or only certain people are going to give. No, we would say we all need to give. We all need to be part of this. We all need to contribute. But there are some people who are particularly able to be generous. Are you following me? So it's more like a volume switch, and it's incremental. It grows as the Holy Spirit decides it should grow. And he grows these gifts in us. Not like an on and off switch, but more like a switch that, or more like a volume switch. It's proportionate. That's what I'm trying to say. In other words, let me say it now in a little more clearer terms. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us proportionately or by a measure, according to how the Holy Spirit wants to pour those gifts into our lives. Now I want to kind of carry on from that, because I think we also need to understand, so a lot of this stuff is stuff I recapped from last week, but I think we also need to understand that the gifts of the Holy Spirit need to be received by us proportionately as well. In other words, it's not like it's just God who has a volume switch. We have a part to play in this too. And as the gifts of the Spirit are given to us incrementally, or proportionately, or by measure, we need to, with the faith that we have, receive those gifts proportionately or incrementally as well. Are you following that? It's like there's two two knobs, two volume switches, right? I need to receive whatever gift the Holy Spirit has for me, whatever gifts he wants to develop in me. I need to receive those gifts in faith. And it is my faith, and this is an important statement, it is my faith that activates the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. It is the faith that I have, or the faith that God's given me, the faith that I exercise, it is that faith that activates the gifts that God wants to give me by his Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me read this, just so you see, this isn't just coming off from left field. In Romans 12, what we just read, he said, You ought to think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith. You hear that? In accordance with, you have a measure of faith, according to the measure of faith God has given you. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Okay, that's God doing this right here. We have different gifts according to the grace. He's got more grace for this gift or less grace. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. And that's what I want you to think about today. It's about the proportion of our faith, that as my faith grows, as I learn to exercise my faith, that it activates those gifts. And sometimes the way God works is, you know, there's more and more. You know, as we activate that faith, as we step out in faith, as we dare to trust him or to dream his dreams, he goes, okay, that's good, my daughter. Here's some more. And we go, okay, this is scary business. I mean, it takes faith, yes. But as you exercise that faith, you start to believe him and you pray and you try to pray for someone for healing because God's given you the gift of healing. And you step out and you do that. God goes, oh, I'm so pleased with that. Here's some more. Here's some more. Do you get that? As we activate, as we step out in faith, it's not so different from that story of the tenants, or the talents, I should say, where there's these three servants, and the one gets five talents, and the other one gets two, and the one gets the one, and the one who doesn't practice it at all, he just buries it, it gets taken away from him, and the one with five is given 10, I forget, I'm getting the numbers wrong probably, but you know what I mean? Like, it's about that when God gives you something, when God equips you, he'll give you more if you put it into practice. And that the more we activate our faith, the more we activate our faith, the more our gifts mean something, the more they grow, the more he'll entrust us with. Can we put it in those terms, right? The more he'll entrust us with. He says, I can trust you with a little, now I'm going to trust you with even more. And it's all about, a lot of it is just about doing what God asks us to do. He says, go and pray for someone. You go, I'm not going to pray for someone. That's too scary. No, I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to lay your hands on someone. Or I'm asking you to go across the hall to your neighbor and tell them about, you know, who this Jesus is. And you go, oh, that takes faith. I think I'll just sit here. Thank you. Right? I'd rather not go. But, as we actually go, as we listen and obey God's word, the gifts start to become common practice in our lives, and we get better at it. It not only makes common sense, right? It's like any other gift. We put them into practice. We use them, and they become more natural in our lives as we build God's kingdom. He's chosen to use us to do that. Amen? But sometimes we think, but I don't have that faith. You're talking about faith now, and I barely have enough faith to get to church. Don't talk about big faith, or I've got to go out and do something or believe something. I don't have that kind of faith. And I want to speak to you today, if that's where you're at. I believe, actually, that there's a lot of people who feel that way. Maybe that's how you feel today. You're going, you know, I just got such tiny little faith. He couldn't be talking to me. There couldn't be bigger gifts for me. I don't have that kind of faith. I'm just quietly trying to live my life out here, you know. I don't have faith. I think there's a lot of people who live in that. Really, it's living in unbelief, right? I don't have that faith. Mark's got big faith. You know, there's people around us. We go, well, there's Tim and there's Crystal. There's people. I know they got really big faith, but I don't have that kind of faith. So I want to address this today by first of all saying, you're wrong. Okay, first of all, you are just plainly wrong, and you need to change the way you're thinking. You need to change your way you're thinking. You may not think that you have faith, but the truth is you probably have a whole lot more faith than what you even know. And what I know about God is that he gives you enough faith, and that faith is actually a gift of God. So this is not something, let's understand this about faith. Faith is not something you can just go buy at the corner store, or you can inherit from your parents, or you can pay for in any which way. Faith is a gift of God. It is given to you, and God never gives begrudgingly or stingily. So you have the faith you're supposed to have. Whether you're exercising that faith, that's a different issue. But let's not say, I don't have faith. You have faith. Even, and this is encouraging for me, even when Jesus spoke to his disciples who were blowing it left and right, he said to them, O ye of little faith. Thank God he said little faith. I'm so glad he didn't say, O you of no faith. He says, O ye of little faith. And we're also told that if you have just a little faith, you can move a mountain. So let's get this straight today. You have faith. You maybe don't feel like you have faith. You don't have the bravado as some people have. You don't yell as loud as other people. You're not declaring things left and right. That's maybe a good thing. That's maybe a good thing. Sometimes faith, often faith is just quiet and trusting and just knowing that God is God. You just need to be you. Don't try to be anybody else. Be the Debbie that God made. Be the Russell that God made, right? You have faith. Do not speak. It's unbelief. It is unbelief when we say, well, I don't have faith. I only have this. I only have saving faith. I had enough faith to accept Christ, but after that, no, I don't have any more. You do. It's kind of like walking. Let me use this example of walking. I helped my 5 sons learn how to walk when I was a young father. And I was there for many of my 9 grandchildren and tried to help them walk. And what I loved to get them to walk. I thought that was kind of a cool thing. And here's what I want to say is, I always understood that they could walk before they could. My grandkids, my kids, they never believed they could walk. And so Grandpa would do this. I'd take them and I'd turn them so that their back was against the sofa or against the chair. So they're like this, right? And so they had nothing to hold on to. And then I'd go, okay, come on. You know, and they would maybe take a step or two, you know, and then you do it again, and you do it again and again. The point is that almost every baby or 1-year-old that I've ever worked with or known has never believed they could walk when they really could. They could walk. I mean, they're going to stumble a bit. They're going to fall a bit. And by the way, you are going to too. You start exercising faith, you're going to stumble a bit. But they did not believe they could walk. And so they're afraid to do so. And that's true. That's true for some of us too. You can walk more than you think. I'm just telling you this today. You have more faith. You have more faith than you know. Because this faith is not something you can muster up. This faith is a gift from God. We're told in Ephesians that we are saved by grace through faith. And this is not of yourselves. This is a gift of God. So I hope you're hearing this today. I hope you're understanding that God has given you the faith you need. He really has. And faith, you know, we think we know what faith should look like. The person who's crying out and loud and always praying or whatever, we think, well, that's a lot of faith. Well, that might be for him. That doesn't have to be you. The other person who's just quietly trusting God and is being still and knowing and hearing God, there's faith. There's great, great, great faith in that too. But the problem is, and this may describe you too, is that sometimes when we're not good at walking, when we're just learning to walk, sometimes Christians find themselves in a wheelchair. I'm talking about this more metaphorically than literally. But, you know, you're just, a lot of people just become Christians, and maybe they come out of an addiction or they come out of a bad relationship, and they're in intensive care, spiritually, and they get into a wheelchair, and they're sitting in that wheelchair, and they go, okay, all I can do is just sit here. I can't do anything else. I am just going to sit here. Maybe I'll move a little bit. I'm just going to sit here for the rest of my life, and I'm okay. That's as much faith as I've got. And we sit in that wheelchair, and we go, I'm disabled. I am just disabled. I can only sit in this chair. I mean, maybe I could stand up, but I can't walk, so I'm just going to sit here. And I'm weak. And we live with almost speaking curse words out, saying, I'm weak, I'm disabled, I got to stay in the chair. I need someone to push me around. I know Christians, people have been Christians for 10 years, and they still got other people pushing them around. Here, let me take you here. Here, let me lead you to this. Let me pray for you. And man, it's time to get out of the wheelchair. I'm telling you. It's time to get out of the wheelchair. I mean, there may be a proper time to be in the wheelchair. That's okay when you're just coming out of an operation or you're coming out of intensive care. But here's the truth. The longer you stay in the wheelchair, the longer you're going to, the less likelihood is that you'll ever get out of it. Yeah. My dad's here today. I remember about 3 years ago that he could hardly walk, and he had one of these little motorized red carts, you know, and he started to you know, drive that thing around for a while, and then it broke down, right, Dad? The best thing that ever happened, I think, for my dad, I hope you agree with me, is that that little cart, whatever, like a scooter thing, it broke down, and he had to, you know, even though he walked slowly, and even though it hurt, and even though, you know, it was painful, my dad started to walk because his scooter didn't work. And I believe that if he had stayed in that scooter, you know, at this point, 3 years later, he would not be walking. And that's the point today, okay? Get out of the chair. You don't need to be in a wheelchair anymore. You've received the faith that God wants you to have. And even if you're only walking one step, that's a good step. Take the one step. Because the longer you stay in the chair, the less likely it is that you'll ever get out of it. And I know hundreds of Christians who are just stuck in the chair because they don't have the courage, because they're so encumbered by their unbelief that they won't stand up and say, okay, in the power that God gives me, I'm going to take a step. So you have the faith, and I got to hurry up here, but here's the other thing I wanted to say is when you do this, when you stay in the chair, when you say, I don't have faith, you know, Don's got faith, but I don't have that kind of faith. When you say that, you are speaking the words that the enemy is whispering into your ears. Amen. He is all about the negative. He's all about what you cannot do. It's what he said to Adam and Eve in the garden. It's all about all the negative. You can't. What do you mean? God would never, you know, God doesn't really love you. God would, you know, you'll be like God, you know. It's all that negative talk. Same with Job, right? When Satan said to God, he said, well, Job, sure, he's a wonderful, wonderful follower of yours, but you know, take all the good stuff away, then you'll see, right? It's all that negative talk. And I want you to know that when you're stuck in this, and you're stuck in a chair, it's only because you're listening to the voice of the enemy, who is an accuser. And he says things like exactly the same things. Hear this. He says exactly the same things that you're saying in your head. I can never do this. I can't do this. I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm a loser. I'm a sinner. I'll never be able to. Never. Those are the words of the enemy of your soul. He wants you to remain defeated. Amen? Anyone with me here? I'm going to say it again. He wants you to remain defeated. He wants you not to believe that you can do anything. So if you're walking around going, I can't do anything. I've got to find my pockets and just sort of shuffle my feet. You know, I'm just waiting to die. I'll be in the wheelchair until I die, I guess. You know, that's not God. That's not God. The enemy says, you'll never be able to do this. But God says, you are able. Because I enable
you. Amen? Man, either I'm not talking fast enough or time's going too quickly, but I want to just do a quick exercise. Because I want you to see today, that you have more faith. You have more faith than what you know. And so I want you to think about things in your life that you didn't believe that now you do. Let me say it again. I want you to think about your life and things in your life. What are some of the things in your life? At one point, you didn't believe something, but now you're believing it. Let me give you some examples. Is there anyone here, one time in your life, you say, I really didn't believe in God? Anybody did not believe in God? Okay, wow, more than I thought. And would you now say, you know, I did not believe in God, but now I believe in God? How many people? All right, that's cool. I like that. Okay, how about another one? Anyone here who was found sometime in your life, you said to yourself, I'll never be free of whatever this is. I'll never be free of gambling. I'll never be free of crack. I'll never. Anyone, how many people? And how many of you now say, but I know now that I am free? Woohoo! Yeah, that's good. Or how about this one? That you said to yourself, I'll never be able to forgive that person in my life. There's no way I'll ever be able to forgive him for what he did. Anyone like that? And are you now able to say, but now I have forgiven him and I believe. Amen? Or what about healing? Let's just talk about healing. How many of you, has any of you ever said in your past, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to be healed of this? Anyone had that, made that statement? A few of you? I'll never be healed of that. I'll never get off the streets, maybe. I'll never be free, right? But you know now, do you know now that you've been healed? How many people have been healed right here in this place? Amen. Look at that, 7-8 people. Right? That's, and we could do this. We could do this all afternoon. And the reason why I believe this to be such an important exercise is because it demonstrates that you really do have faith. That your faith is growing, that it was before things you didn't believe, you believe now. You believe now what you did not believe 10 years ago. Some of you didn't believe in God before, you believe in him now. You believe that you've been healed. You believe that you've been set free. You believe that you can forgive now where you could never forgive before. And that is the gift of faith. That is the gift of faith that God has given you. And you should just say, thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. Jason. I'll bet you, I shouldn't say bet you, I would imagine, let me put it in better spiritual terms, you would never have said a year ago, you know what, I'm going to be in church every single week for like 6 months or 8 months in a row. Would you have said that? You would have said it? Or yes, you wouldn't have said it. Right, okay, don't be difficult. Right? I mean, I'm sorry to point you out, but I get to do that because they give me the mic. You're a great example, you know. One little step of faith, don't you agree? It just started with one little step of faith, saying, okay, I'm going to try this, or I'll make one little motion here. I'll move in the right direction. If God's listening, I'm going to just, I'll respond, even if I can only respond this much. And God blesses you, and God uses you, and God changes your life, and you have faith, man. You do. So that's, and Karina, same thing, you know, Amanda, and I can point out stories, you know. I can tell your story, but it's not my story to tell. All I'm saying, all God is saying, is that these are gifts that come from him to you. And make no mistake about this. He gives you the appropriate faith that you need to activate that gift. You getting that? Okay, one last thing. And just understand where I'm going with this, but I believe that what we need to start to understand is the Pentecost spirit who lives inside of us now, and that the faith of a spirit-filled Christian there's even more expected of us because we're filled with the Holy Spirit than before. Let me try to explain that. You see, all along, it was expected of believers, whether you were back in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament, you'd believe things like, yeah, I believe in God. Well, that's good. We need to believe in God, yes. Or I believe in the Word of God, that it's true. And we all go, amen, right? Yes, those are true things. And there's a whole list of these things that we would go, These are things that we stand on. They're important. But now that we have the Holy Spirit living, he actually lives inside of me, this takes it to a whole new dimension. It's not just believing that stuff out there or good theology or that God is. Listen, I have the Holy Spirit living in me. And so he can direct me every day in a personal way. He can say, Stan, I want you to go and talk to this person. Or you see that person sitting there, she's hurting. Just lay your hand on her and pray for her. Or, you know, dream a dream. Here's a dream I want for you. Dream it. You know what I'm saying? Like, with the Holy Spirit now actually living in me, which only happened because of Pentecost and because Jesus promised that he wouldn't leave us alone, this is a different kind of faith for New Testament Spirit-filled Christians today, where I can get direct orders from my Lord to do specific things. And some of you know what I'm talking about. How many of you have ever felt that? You go, you know, I know the Holy Spirit is directing me to talk to, let's try this, a complete stranger. Anyone of you had that before? Okay. Is it scary? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it weird? Oh, yeah. Yep, sometimes. But this is what it means to have the Holy Spirit in us. That sometimes he may direct us to just step out in faith and to say, you know, I don't even know who you are, but I'm really feeling that God wants me to come to you and tell you, this maybe sounds crazy to you, and I just want you to know God loves you. God has asked me to, the Holy Spirit who lives in me has asked me to tell you this. That's all I got, right? And this goes bigger. Like, there's so many other ways that this can be developed when we are listening to the Holy Spirit. Okay? When we're listening to the Holy Spirit, he directs us. And he always gives us everything we need. You will not be lacking in power. You will not be lacking in knowledge. You will not be lacking in mercy. You will not be lacking in wisdom. He will give you whatever you need if we're actually praying that prayer and listening to God. And we say to God every day, God, direct me. Holy Spirit, who lives in me, you're living in me. So where do you want to go today? Who should I minister to? Maybe there's someone I can lay my hands on or put some oil on if they want that for healing. It's faith in a whole new dimension because it's the Pentecost dimension. It's faith because it's not just a God who is out there, but it is God the Holy Spirit who now is in here. And he can give me different marching orders every day. Amen? Okay. Here's how we're going to conclude today. Cindy McLean is someone who used to come here but hasn't been able to come here for quite a while because of her health. And they're going to, she's not doing well, and they're going to pull the plug on her today. So I'm going to ask for some of you just to pray for her, even if you've never met her before. What we're actually going to do today is try to put some of this into practice. So not trying to weird you out, but we're going to take about 10 minutes and minister to each other, or maybe you just sit there and pray for Cindy right now. Sonny has asked for the elders to anoint him with oil. So we're going to do that. We're going to gather around him with Elvin and with Tim and Barb and me and Crystal and who am I missing? Whoever the leadership is, we're going to gather around Sonny and Doug, yeah. We're going to pray for healing because in James, it says if any of you is sick, you should call the elders and they'll anoint you with oil and they'll pray. And the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. But we're doing this because I know you say, well, I'm just going to church. I want to just come here and I want to leave. I don't want anyone to bug me. Don't make me do anything. I'm sorry, you're in the wrong church. And if we don't practice, and this is about practice, it's only going to be 10 minutes. But if we can't practice this here, how are we ever going to practice it in the food court of the Bauer Mall or wherever else, the Tim Hortons? Some of you guys do this at Tim Hortons, right? So we are going to, in just a minute, and if you're not comfortable, just sit and pray. That's cool. But if you have a word for somebody, let me just finish, and I'm done here, okay? There's somebody that's been on your heart. Maybe you don't even know their name, but you just want to say, I just want to encourage you, or you got a great smile, or I'm glad you're here today. Whatever that is, if the Holy Spirit, let me say it one more time. if the Holy Spirit is directing you to somebody here today, then be obedient. Go to that person. Pray if that's the right thing to do. Encourage them. Maybe there's someone who needs just a healing. Put your hand, ask them if it's okay to pray for them. And we're going to put this is we're putting this into practice. We're going to get better at this. So good. You're going to I just want the piano, okay? Just the piano. And we're going to start with prayer, and then we're going to go to Sunny. So one thing is going to be happening over there. And I encourage the rest of you to get up out of your seats and find somebody that you're listening to the Holy Spirit right now. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit, because he's real, because he lives in us. Okay, what do you want? Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, you are so amazing. And we want our faith to grow proportionately. We want our faith to increase. We want to take bigger steps. And that's scary ground sometimes. And we're afraid to fall. We're afraid to get out of the chair. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here in this place and that this is a safe place. So I would just ask right now, Holy Spirit, you'll just move our hearts. Give us a nudge, because maybe we need a little more than a nudge. Give us a little knee or something to help us to listen to you and help us to bless or encourage or welcome someone else. Thank you that you include us in ministry and in the building of your great kingdom. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We want to be directed by you. And since you live in us, you're in our hearts. We want to just be in tune. We want to hear you well. Thank you. Have your way here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, brother. This is a good day.